Oh, boy. Starting laughing. Okay, sorry, I'm just laughing at me.
No, I'm laughing at... we need better humor from you, Kirk. We need no easy jokes. That made me laugh.
I'm just teasing him.
I know, but it's funny.
He's the best. All right, everybody. This is... what is it? It's going to be episode 6, I guess. Episode 6 of Autastic.
Oh, yeah.
And if you listen closely in the first few episodes, we don't know. We recorded it before we had a name.
That's
so
true.
We don't really mention the name.
That's true.
But anyway, Autastic. I'm Graham Kay.
I'm Kirk Smith.
That's right. And if you're new to the podcast, I have an autistic brother.
And I have an autistic son.
That's right. And this is a comedian's guide. We're both comedians.
Oh, yeah.
To living with autism. I had a friend hit me up on Facebook last time we were promoting it and go, is Kirk autistic?
I saw that.
And I was like, no. And he goes, are you autistic? I'm like, no. Do you know anyone like that? ?
I saw that.
And he's like, oh, sorry. I thought you might have been making fun of autistic people. Like, just a whole podcast devoted.
Every week, we're just making fun of autistic people. This is going to blow up.
I said, come
on. All we got to do is make fun of handicapped people forever. And somebody will like it. Oh, brother. I saw that.
It's going to really help our careers.
Exactly. Those guys are jerks.
Anyway, that was like the best thing that's ever happened to me.
It was pretty funny. Was he being serious or was he?
He was being serious. And he's a smart, funny guy. Like, I was like, what?
Is he a comedian?
Yeah, he's a comedian and he's a writer.
All right.
Yeah.
I saw that and I almost commented. I'm like, I don't know this guy well enough to comment. Like, you really have you really think really lowly of Graham. Like, I don't know you that well. But I don't appreciate if you putting together a podcast where you just make fun of handicapped people, Graham. So
I would have to be
the biggest douche ever
on the spectrum to pull something like that off. I'm kidding. that could be a segue to in the news.
Yeah, that's an inside joke to you and I's conversation from earlier. Yeah.
Let's run with that.
Yeah. So
in the news, they had a British. Is she a pop singer?
She is. She was on like I'm a Celebrity, Big Brother, Get Me Out of Here, that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's kind of like means borderline. They're not a celebrity. What that means.
So she's a British celebrity, and she called a British politician.
Kate Hopkins is her name. Yeah.
From the Labour Party, she called a Labour Party politician on the spectrum.
Ed Miliband. Yeah.
On the spectrum, and then Stephen Hawking's daughter, who you made a good point. She's Stephen Hawking's daughter. And she also has an autistic. So she deals with both
sides of this.
Stuck in the middle. And
we're not laughing at her, obviously.
No, but anyway, she brought up a good point. I thought she's like, it's at least a good point of discussion. You know, can you really just start calling people on the spectrum?
Labeling people, yeah.
Like, she's basically calling him retarded. But the spectrum has become the new retarded, I think. And in that way, it offends me.
Okay.
It does. Now,
Graham and I come at this from different points of view.
We do.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just think, okay, what's your position then?
I think anytime you label or diagnose somebody else's mental conditions, yeah, you're probably not doing it from a good place.
No.
But statistically, somebody's on the spectrum. So to be called on the spectrum, I don't necessarily find.
You don't think this like blanket, like, well, he's on the spectrum. That's like the new, that guy's a little retarded. But now you can't say that. So they're like, well,
let me think here. Because I think, okay, so in comedy, you know this, there's a lot of people that are on the spectrum.
Absolutely.
And they know it. I mean, it's not like I'm just making fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so
there's a local comedian in L.A.
We're going to have him.
We're going to have him on a guest one day.
Yeah. Josh.
Josh.
I just blanked on his last name. But and he's on the spectrum.
It doesn't matter. He's on the spectrum. So.
And you're going to hell.
No, he's the best. He's
a funny guy.
He's a cool guy. He knows that he's self-aware about it.
Yeah.
And
sweetheart of a guy.
It's pretty interesting, actually. I can't wait to have him on because he's very high functioning.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Asperger's is a thing anymore, isn't it?
Yeah, the what is it? I'm not a doctor.
5 years ago, we would have called him Asperger's, but now it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but they took that out of the actual official whatever.
But anyway, it's interesting because autistic people have a lot of trouble relating and seeing themselves in a situation, and that's pretty much what comedy is. But he has funny jokes.
But I think he comes at it where he's definitely... okay, his point of view is mm-hmm. definitely different than the norm, mm-hmm. and so it's often funny when he honestly talks about his point of view in the situation. It comes across funny.
It comes across funny, but here's the important part. It comes across funny in a way that isn't laughing at him. It's laughing with him.
It is laughing with him, and it shows some self-awareness that
he's
self-deprecating. Yeah, I agree.
I wonder if it's like therapy, if it helps him. But anyway,
He says, we need to have him on the show so he can speak for himself. But he talks about how happy his parents are that he's found comedy, he's found something he enjoys, mm-hmm. that he enjoys it, it makes him laugh, he feels part of the comedy community.
He is part of the community.
Sure.
He hangs out with people all the time.
For sure. And he does this funny thing where he goes, listen, I can't tell if you're bored, so if you're bored, just tell me. You can leave at any time. Just tell me. I talk a lot. Just tell me if you're bored. Hey, I can. So he does this thing where he's like very aware.
Yeah.
And so when you're done, you have to excuse yourself. Be like, well, it's good talking to you. I got to go. I got a spot. I got to get going. So, okay, was I talking too much? Nope, not talking too much. I just got to go.
My God. That made me so happy. That's like my brother.
Probably.
Yeah, he's like, he just corners people.
It's kind of what he does, a little bit, in a good way.
Talking about The Simpsons. Ah, I'm a businessman at the bus stop, sir. Please stop talking to me about The Simpsons. anyway, on the spectrum, I think.
I think I'm reserving judgment. I'm not positive either direction yet.
I also think you can be a kook, and now it sort of takes away your now you're not a smart, interesting person like in the 80s. You're now right. now you're mentally handicapped. You're on the spectrum.
This brings up more
like Revenge of the Nerds could not come out today.
Right,
it would just be like, oh, these people are just bullying these autistic people.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
But that comes like makes an interesting point to me, which is like we're so in a rush to label people. Like, you ever meet somebody, you're having a fun time, and you connect to them, whatever, and then they go, oh, what's your background? Like, what do you care? Like, what if I say Irish, or if I say Scottish, or if I say German, what's the difference? Where'd you grow up? Like, we're so keen to label people. Like,
right.
Oh, you grew up from New York City? Oh, that's very interesting. Versus if you say, I grew up in Jersey. Oh, this.
Yeah.
We're so keen to label everybody and, like, put them in a little box, to be honest. Put them in a little pigeonhole, and, oh, okay, well, you can do this, and you're allowed to do this. But
you're
can't do this.
You're right. I don't know. I don't. When I first heard this story, I was like, well, who cares if she called somebody on the spectrum? Right. But she said it in a bad way.
That's the point I have a problem.
She called him retarded.
I guess the problem I have with this, what are you saying? He's on the spectrum, meaning what?
Meaning what? That he's smarter than special?
Right.
Is that you did not mean that he's smarter and special.
Right. You didn't mean that he's good at math. Yeah. So what are you saying exactly?
Yeah, you're saying he is not fit to have the job because he's mentally
maybe,
disabled.
Maybe I do have a problem with it, because what she's trying to do is she's trying to pigeonhole him.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
See?
Okay. Yeah.
We solved something.
That's why I had an open mind at the beginning and everything fell out.
I think that's good.
No, I think you're right. You're trying to put a label on him and somehow say the things he can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course he thinks that. He's on the spectrum. Wait, what?
He wants to cut public funding to going to stupid stupid reality shows.
He must be
on the spectrum. All right. So that's been in the news. Want to do the weekly roundup?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to you this week?
This week I put together a show.
Go ahead. Which relates to, I'm just going to set it up for the audience. Weekly roundup, if you're new to the show, is basically our week. What happened to us that relates to autism in our week.
If it was two guys hanging out, I'd be like, hey, what's going on? What'd you do this week?
About autism.
yeah, I guess.
But you had a big week.
Yeah, I had a good week. We put together this new show about neurodevelopmental disorders, and that's a big word. I can read.
A stand-up comedy show.
At the Westside Comedy Theater down on the Promenade in Santa Monica.
California.
And hopefully it's going to... We're going to branch out a little
bit. You sold out.
And we sold out.
That's so awesome.
It was a lot of work, but it worked.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. You're on the next one.
I'd love to. I was out of town on the road with my successful comedy career. So successful. And
the underlying snark in your Canadian statements are so funny. He's not making a face. He's not doing anything. But I know he's joking. It just makes me laugh.
Well, I'm making fun of my life. but anyway, yeah. So that's great. And who'd you have on it? And what did they talk about?
We had so it's neurodevelopmental disorders and mental illness. So it's about desensitizing these issues and talking honestly about it. We're not making fun, but just being honest. So Kira Solanovich talked about her aunt being schizophrenic. We had, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Ian Gratowski. Mm-hmm. He's been depressed, institutionalized many times, and he talks about it. It's really, I love it. To me, good comedy, and you were busting my chops earlier about make good jokes, but good comedy is about talking about hard subjects. So if you could talk about the fact that you've been institutionalized and making funny, that's a lot harder than making fart jokes. It just is.
Absolutely.
So he made it relatable and funny, and some of the people were uncomfortable, but it's like, yeah, you got to put your big boy pants on. This is like
you came to a show about this.
Yes, this is and he's talking about himself, so he's allowed to to make fun of himself.
And I mean, did you get a feel for who was in the audience? Like, what were they there? Were they there just to see a comedy show? And they like.
It was the first one, so honestly, it was mostly my friends.
Right.
Which is good in that they know what to expect. We're not there to make fun of the handicapped. We're not there to we're just there to talk about our lives. And
look, we both know you don't have that many friends. Some people were there to see the show. You should be proud of yourself. Well, that's huge.
We should talk about how many seats. It only seats 70 people, so.
No, it seats more than that.
770 people.
No, but it seats more than that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Like 100. It's like 100 people. But that's still, I mean, that's a packed show.
It was packed. It
that's
sold
great.
Out. We had Tone Bell. He talked about being a teacher before he was a comedian and actor. He was a teacher. He had taught a little special ed. He talked about that. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I talked about my son.
Hot show, Tone Bell.
It was a good show. It was a good show. We're starting to book next month. So we've got some great acts lined up already. Eric Myers talks about his depression. We've got Graham Kay. I don't know if you've heard about him, but his career is taking off. He's just toured Canada.
So big.
He's going back to Canada. He is a big man. His career is big, too. Who else do we have? We've got some surprise guests. I don't want to tip my hand too soon.
Mm-hmm. That's great, man. Congrats. That's huge.
I'm excited. I think it's the beginning. Baby steps.
Not too much happened to me. I mean, I was on the road. And it was, it always bothers me, like, when I'm sort of, like, running around and it's, like, my schedule's weird. I'm on a plane. My brother goes to bed early. I try to talk to him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hadn't talked to him in a while. And so what he does is he reaches out to other friends. He, like, emails a lot, you know.
Yeah. 'Cause
he needs to talk to people every day.
That's good.
And he... one of my best friends growing up who's not my... I don't really... talk to him very much anymore. I mean, we still are friends, but you know, he's got a wife and kids in Ottawa and I live in LA in America. Like, it's like, you know, but anyway, he talks to him all the time and he started emailing my girlfriend.
I love it.
And I mean, I think he's single-handedly keeping us together because he's so cute.
Yeah. She's like, he's got such a nice brother.
Yeah. So she forwarded me this email that he had sent to her. He goes, hello, Jane. Her name's Jane. Hello, Jane. And for today, when you, Graham, and I discussed it's important to face up to whatever you're afraid of, well, when I used to watch the movie Jumanji that had Robin Williams.
Scary horror movie.
Well, then he played Alan Parrish as a grown-up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he sure was very responsible when he remembered his father once told him, you should always face whatever you are afraid of. Peter Kay. Then he goes, P.S. And the P.S. is always longer than the body.
Love it.
P.S. When I used to watch Care Bears, there was this show theme Care Bears called The Bravest of the Brave. So the Care Bears adventure, Braveheart, Lion. Remember the Care Bears?
Of course.
Braveheart, Lion, and his little boy, Adam, helped each other out with facing each other's fear of the dark. Even when they both thank each other for helping, blah, 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 blah. You know. But you get it. It's like... I'll read the end. Care Bears, even when they were able to defeat evil No Heart and his assistant, Dr. Fright. signed Peter Kay. You're like,
love it.
How do you not
find that endearing?
Like that. Yeah. You know, like, how am I going to be a selfish, bad person if I get emails about the Care Bears and how the movie Jumanji reminded, you know, like, he's so smart. Like, he'll be like, oh, well, Face of Fears. Well, here are memories from the 80s.
Okay, see, that's how we talked earlier about autistic comedians. That's to me why some of those guys are funny, because the connections they make aren't the same connections I make.
No.
Like, you know,
yeah,
that doesn't make me think of the Care Bears when you say, don't give up on your fears. My first thought isn't Care Bears.
No.
Or Jumanji. Mm-hmm. So, like, so if your brother would craft jokes around that, I might laugh. I mean, it might be something I had. And I think that's what comedy is. You're taking two disparate things that are connected, mm-hmm. and you connect them in some unusual way. Yeah.
Absolutely. It brings back to our other point about calling people on the spectrum. It's damning someone who's thinking a different way than you and is not disabled. They're just different. Like, there's that gray area at the top of autism, which I don't think they should be called anything.
You know what I mean? Top of autism? What do you mean?
Not, okay, well, that there's a bottom and a top, but the gray area between being quote unquote normal and severely autistic.
Okay, got it.
That's sort of what used to be called Asperger's.
Right. High functioning or whatever.
High functioning, whatever. Yeah. Like, okay, so you're, you know, really good at math, but can't talk to people and you look at the ground. That's just different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that makes me think of. I know this makes you think of it, but I mean, what it makes me think of is, and I'm guilty of doing this too, is when you, like, sometimes you add someone's race to the conversation where it's not relevant at all. When you're like, what are you saying? Like, when you're like, and then the Asian guy came over here, and it's like completely unrelated to the story. Like, why would you say that? What does that have to do? Mm-hmm. He's on the spectrum. What does that have to do with the story?
That's, yeah, exactly.
Why do you need to add that? What are you trying to say? Like,
you're dehumanizing.
Yeah, yeah. But you're saying, and then this black guy came, and then what does that have to do with it? The fact, is that relevant? Or are you just throwing that out there for us to, you know, and then you make your own aspersions or whatever. If the character of the story does something good or bad, then it somehow relates back to the race or the spectrum or the, and it's unrelated to the whole.
So, I agree. First of all, I think we accomplished a lot.
I think we solved race.
Well, all right. So let's just do the, let's move on.
Let's do it.
We both agree, you know, solve some stuff. Let's move on to the topic du jour. Why don't you set it up, Kirk?
Topic du jour for today is our longtime listeners may recall that we've talked in the past about having a dating site for autistic kids. You know, you talked about your brother being – somebody did it. Somebody did it this year. A mother-daughter duo launched a dating site for individuals called – hold for it – SpectrumSingles.com. Olivia Cantoon, 18, and her mother, Kristen Fitzgerald, 37. No idea why they put the mother – but if you're curious – now you know how old she is.
Yeah.
This lady's 37. I'm sure she's glad that everybody knows that.
This person wants to write for, like, people.com, just where they just list everyone's age for no reason.
Just in case you were curious. How old
she just wanted to, like, be like, by the way, she had a child when she was young.
She was 21.
Scandalous.
21, yeah.
I think that's... I think that's
19. I can't do the math.
I think... You know what? I will say this. I think maybe that this is one of the reasons why she came up with it is because she's younger. And she appreciates the sort of need... Maybe more.
Maybe.
I don't know. I when I first heard about this, I was kind of weirded out. But then I was like, I think it's really necessary. I think it's kind of a cool thing. I mean, look, we both know that sex is a very touchy subject that we can tackle a different day. But some autistic people could and most probably shouldn't. You know, but that's up to the parent, I would say. But the point of this website is not sex. It's not hooking up. This isn't Tinder. This is companionship, which is, I think, really important.
Well, yeah, the website breaks it down a few different ways, actually. It's got friendship, even, was one of the okay, so it says I am, and then it gives you the options, male, female, a gender, and a few other options. And then I'm looking for, tells you that, but then it says, I'm looking for, here we go. Friendship, and then sex, and then so relationship. Yeah, I agree with you. I think sex, for people like my son is going to be complicated even as he ages. I mean, I hope, hopefully that's something that's in the cards for him, but even if it's not, companionship is something that's real and might push him a little bit, to be honest. If he's around a woman he finds interesting, he might be more willing to shower, brush his teeth, comb his hair. Yeah. Those might be things that I don't have to fight him about.
Women have a, even for me, I mean, even for non-autistic men, it makes you,
shower.
Your goals are higher day to day. Like you'll make your bed.
For
maybe
sure.
She'll come home and didn't want to see the dirty bed and all clean. And
yeah, I don't want the deal breaker to be a messy apartment. Yeah.
No deodorant today. I might see a lady. Here's the thing: is my brother had a girlfriend when he was 16. He's 30 now, hasn't had one since, and he's gone through phases of being, you know, depressed about not having a girlfriend, and then acceptance, and now he's like, he says he's accepted. He's like, well, you know, maybe just not having a girlfriend a girlfriend's not for me. I like to be alone, do my own thing, but he'll still be like. Talk about the time he danced with a girl that he liked, you know, and that like 5 years ago.
He's a player. I get it.
Well, but
he's
a human being.
Of course.
He needs that human interaction. And it's such a nice confidence boost when a girl likes you. It's so nice.
Yeah. Makes you feel good.
And, you know, we sign him up for basketball, you know, for mentally challenged people. And, it's difficult because it's hard enough for somebody who isn't developmentally delayed to find the right person.
Oh yeah.
But imagine you have to find somebody on the the right wavelength, the way their brain works. The spectrum is so vast for autism. It's like Peter is not going to date somebody who's in a wheelchair and nonverbal.
Right.
And he's not going to date somebody who, you know, you would call high on the spectrum.
Right.
Because they have nothing in common. You have to find somebody in the right slot. And that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
If your city is only like a million people, or if it's a smaller city, or even any city. Like, it's just very, very hard to do. So this is kind of cool. I think it's really cool, actually. I don't know how they grade the people on the spectrum, and I don't know how you narrow that down, but at least it's out there. I mean,
I think some of that stuff, though, we might be overthinking it. I think some of the things, if you reach out to the person based on the conversation, based on the interaction, you'll be able to tell. Like, this person, you'll be able to tell. This person.
They'll be able to figure it out in
the email. Yeah, I think if your brother reaches out to some people, it'll be pretty clear.
You're right.
Like, if, you know.
You're right.
You know.
Yeah. It's very cute.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be careful. It raises all the other things about like them hooking up and stuff. But
the internet's great in that way too. That it would be great if your brother found a girlfriend or whatever you want to call it who lived in Washington. So sex is even on the cards. So it's a relationship. You can talk to her. You can connect. You can talk about Star Wars. Talk about whatever. You want to talk about The Simpsons. You want to talk about. Did you watch The Simpsons last night? I watched The Simpsons last night. Did you think this was great? I thought this was great.
Yeah.
You can connect and have that companionship, which is what. As you get older, especially your brother's in his 30s now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more and more important. Sex is a part of it, but a much smaller slice of the pie than it is when you're 18 or 20 or 25. Yeah, and when he's 35 or 40, even more so, he'll be looking for something even deeper, probably, than the physical.
Yeah, no, totally. It's going to help him. Just the more people around you,
you know.
I mean, I feel guilty. I'm in L.A. You know, and he has a volunteer that comes and meets him. And I feel there's some guilt there. It's like, that's my job.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And now there's some volunteer has to take him to the mall, you know, once a week. It'd just be nice if he could find somebody that he could just hang out with.
But to be honest, it's the physical stuff or the in-person stuff is great. But you talked about him writing you emails and writing your girlfriend emails and writing messages. And so the ability for him to connect over the intertubes with people, I think, is still great. It's a great addition. It doesn't replace the in-person.
Oh, man, for sure.
But I think it's a great addition. And it would really open up the number of people he could consider.
Yeah.
From six or whatever there's in his town to, I bet there's hundreds
of thousands.
Well,
the thing is, there's, you know what the thing about, even in his town, he only knows like three potential
right,
matches.
That's at six. I was just guessing.
Yeah, exactly. But with this, he might know 20 now.
Might know 6,000, to be honest.
That live within a driving distance.
Right.
You know?
And even if they're not in the driving distance, I don't know. Like, for my son, if I would, you know.
Like a pen pal?
Pen pal, but then you see him a couple times a year or something. I mean, it's the start. It's better than nothing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. This thing.
I think it's great, is what I'm saying.
I think it is great. I think it's cute as hell. I don't know. It warms my little heart. My dead heart. I think, anyway, so that's it. That's,
This is great.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, Graham.
Good to see you too, Kirk. As always, everybody, this has been Autastic. Please, share with your friends, people you think might, other people in the autistic community where you live that you know. We've got a lot of positive feedback from listeners saying that it's helped them, that they've, it's helped them laugh, poke the elephant in the room in their minds.
Share it.
Subscribe. The big one is subscribe on iTunes, please. Give us a good rating. Helps us a lot. Helps us keep doing it. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.